I found a song a little over a year ago. My wife actually played it for me. It's a song by a Christian artist named Natalie Grant, and she sang a song entitled "Be One." And the words to the song really, really challenged me as to who I am in Christ. What am I doing with the Christ that has been deposited in me? And what is my reaction to people that I intersect with each and every day? Here's some of the lyrics to this incredible song. She says things like this: "We don't feel ready, we don't feel steady. We question what we really have to give. We stay where it's safer. We claim faith, but we waver. Is this how we really are meant to live? We pray, but we never move. We say, but never do. It's time to get our hands dirty, because there's a whole lot of hurting." That's a good song, isn't it? That's a challenge for us as a believer in Jesus Christ. And so many of us, we pray for things to happen around us, when all the time I think God is saying, "Hey, listen, I've planted you there. I've planted you there, positioned you there at this intersection of someone's life, and I'm looking for you to step into this moment." The song goes on to say, "Why sit around and wait for a miracle to come when we can be one?" Hey, listen, believer in this house today, can I just tell you something? God is looking to you today to step into someone's life and be the miracle that they're looking for. He's wanting to use us to accomplish his work here on earth. Today, I want to talk about us being ready for these God opportunities, for these moments that God gives us as people cross our path each and every day. You know that you interact with a lot of people, right? Hey, how many people do you think you know? Two? No, that's the number of push-ups that Ted can do. But I looked into this. They say that the average American knows 600 people. Whoa! Now, before you get excited about that, research goes on to say that out of those 600, there's really only about 10 to maybe 25 people that you would say you trust. So we might know a lot of people, but even when it comes to who do we really know and who are we really tight with, there's roughly, they say, 10 to 25 people that you really trust. Let me ask you a question. Out of all these people that you know, or more, out of all the people that you rub shoulders with on a daily basis, have you ever thought about and seen them as an opportunity that God has placed in front of you for you to influence them with the message of Jesus Christ? The people that you work next to, the people standing in the express checkout line, they have more than 15 items and you're torqued off about it, because you know you've got two and they broke the rules. Have you seen that as an opportunity to say, "Excuse me, can you not read the sign?" No, that's not what I'm saying. But excuse me, you look like somebody who needs Jesus. Have you ever thought about, as you go about your business, the patients you see, the students you instruct, the sports team that you coach? Have you ever thought about that? As God placing people in your life and in your world with the hopes that you just might speak about him in their presence. Are you with me today? Listen, I used the word cringe earlier today. I cringe when I think about all the opportunities that have come across my path that I've missed. Yes, I even sometimes miss moments. I have bad attitudes. I'm tired, I get hangry, I have agendas and I've got to get places. And it is upsetting for me as I prepare for today to think about all those moments that God placed people in front of my life or in front of me and I missed the moment. And you know what happens? Sometimes they're gone forever, aren't they? And we don't have an opportunity to redeem that moment. This has especially become profound for me when I think about mission trips that I've been on overseas, like Indonesia, Uganda, Belize, and places like that, because some of these people I will never see again. And my prayer is that I hope to see them in heaven someday. But guys, we all have opportunities like that each and every day. And will we be ready to embrace the moment? You know, there'll be about 1,000 adults and just in this room alone today. And I just was kind of thinking about opportunities that we have before us. And if all of us in this room today just have one person that we have an opportunity to advance the kingdom with and to speak Jesus in their life, what if we miss just that one moment? We have more than that, but just for an easy, you know, math lesson, let's say that 1,000 of us miss just one opportunity a day that God puts in front of us for the next year. Over the course of a year, we will have just missed bare minimum 365,000 opportunities. People that are hurting that we could have shared hope with. People that were discouraged and disillusioned that are looking for direction that we could have directed towards Christ. People that were hungry that we could have fed. People that were angry, or people that were fearful that we could have spoken peace into. Lost people that we could have told about Jesus. Let's just be conservative and say that just 10% of those opportunities would have actually produced some fruit. They would have borne some fruit for the kingdom. That doesn't sound much, but that's still over 36,000 productive efforts that if we don't step into those moments, we would have lost forever. And some of you are going, man, that sounds a little far-fetched. And I think maybe you're really overestimating the problem in our culture today. Consider this with me, that on average, there are about 100 to 200 churches a week that close their doors. That's anywhere from 6,000 to 10,000 churches a year that close their doors. Someone asked me, why is that? A plethora of reasons. But needless to say, that is a lot of churches that are supposed to be embassies for Christ to do a great and awesome, life-changing, transformative work in people's lives. They're closing their doors and not available any longer. Research says that there are 25,000 churches this in a recent year that didn't even report a single baptism. Listen, you know a church that's not experiencing transformation, that's not a church. It's called a country club. But churches that are focused on advancing the kingdom of God and welcoming of the Holy Spirit to come and do what he wants to. Listen, you can't miss transformation taking place. Are you with me there? They say that only 3% of professing Christians have ever led anyone to Christ. Man, will we still have numbers like that if we within the body of Christ were actively seizing these opportunities to advance the kingdom? And I know that in churches today, we put a lot of emphasis on organizational structure and leadership. We organize campaigns and we have programs for different age levels. And listen, there's nothing wrong with all of those things. But I just wonder sometimes if maybe we have overlooked and we've undervalued those moments throughout our everyday, those maybe mundane moments as we're driving to schools or as we're at work or as we're on an athletic field, those moments that God places in front of us to influence others with Jesus Christ. Today, I want to look at a story in the Bible. Are you guys okay with scripture today? All right. I want to look at a story in the Bible that I believe gives us an incredible picture of someone who could have missed an opportunity that God placed in front of them, but they took advantage of it. They seized the moment. Now next week, we're gonna look at probably one of the greatest stories in the Bible that deal with this. Next week, we're gonna look at the parable of the Good Samaritan. But today, I'm gonna look in Acts chapter 8 at a story about a man by the name of Philip and his encounter that he had one day with an Ethiopian eunuch. Are you with me? We okay? Look what it says in scripture beginning verse 26. It says, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. And so he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia. The treasurer of Ethiopia. Whoa. He was a eunuch of great authority under the Candake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship. And he was now returning home. And seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Hey, try that during your drive time this week. Just roll your windows down and just get your Bible reading on. Oh, Lord, our God, when I an awesome one. I said, that's a song, but that's what this eunuch's doing. He's reading out loud from his carriage from the prophet, the book of Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. Now keep in mind, an angel says to Philip, I just want you to walk this road from between Jerusalem and Gaza. Philip doesn't know why he's doing that. He's just obeying the Spirit promptly. Whoa, that's important. Philip ran over and he heard this man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked him, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of scripture that he had been reading was this, quote, he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. Now, who's he reading about? Who's the prophet Isaiah prophesying about? The Messiah, Jesus. And the eunuch asked Philip, hey, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? And so beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Now stop for just a second. Philip, I just want you to go walk up and down the road from Gaza to Jerusalem. Okay. Along comes the carriage, the treasurer of Ethiopia, reading the prophet Isaiah, confused. I wish I understood what this was all about. Hey, I can help you, sir. Hop into my carriage with me. Help me understand. And this man, Philip, shares with him the good news about Jesus. The story goes on to say that as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? Well, because it's not Sunday, baptism Sunday. It's not, and I'm not even prepared. I'm just walking the road, bro. No. It says he ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Amen. Philip was ready. Philip was ready. I'm going to share with you real quickly some lessons that I see from this story that are important for you and I to reverse the curse of churches closing and reverse this curse of missing these opportunities for kingdom advancement, for us to be equipped and ready to embrace the moments that God places before us. He will, to share his story. I've already said one of the lessons is that, you know, moments that we miss sometimes are gone forever. Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch came from different parts of the world. Had Philip not intersected this man's life this day on the road between Jerusalem and Gaza, would this man have ever had the opportunity to receive the good news? Possibly. But I just know that God, an angel of the Lord told Philip to go because the angel knew that their paths would cross. Guys, listen, sometimes we will have only one opportunity to engage someone with just an invite to come and see or with the good news of Jesus Christ. And if we miss those moments may be gone forever. I'm praying that somehow every morning we would simply, I had our pastor say it years ago, say, hey, what if you woke up every morning and say, okay, God, what are we gonna do together today? But what happens for so many of us is we wake up and we begin to look at our schedule or we pull up ways to see what time do I need to leave the house to fight traffic to arrive on time to my destination, right? What would happen if we would wake up every day with this attitude? Hey, God, would you help me to see the encounters and the opportunities? Would you help me to see people that pass by me today in the cubicle, on the athletic field, in the suit? Would you help me see them as opportunities to influence them? Let me recognize these divine appointments that you're setting up. You know, if we miss these moments, guys, they may be gone forever. I also see here that God often gives us opportunities, and he gives those to people who are committed and prepared. Listen, there may have been other believers, there may have been other Christians on that same road from Jerusalem to Gaza. That there's probably a good chance there were, because people would go up to Jerusalem to worship and then they would disperse and go back to their communities. There were probably other Christians that could have stepped into the carriage with this Ethiopian that day. But God chose Philip to share with the Ethiopian. And do you understand what Philip did? He was simply helping the Ethiopian understand something that I believe Philip already knew. You see, Philip had prepared. Philip was astute. He knew what the book of Isaiah, the prophet, had spoken. And so when he encounters this Ethiopian on the road, Philip has studied. He is prepared in season and out of season in order to give an answer for the hope that he has. Are you prepared when God shows up and gives you opportunities that he places in front of you? Now, I know that not many of us, we walk around with our Bibles and or dog-eared copy of Purpose Driven Life, or that we can pull up on an instant. I know that. But are you ready? Are you prepared? And here's what I think God gives more opportunities to those who are prepared. Those whose hearts are truly set on him. What a challenge for us. And that's why you need to know that we as a church staff are not going to make it easy for you to sit idle in your faith any longer around here. We're going to continue to give opportunities. We're going to continue to challenge you. Hey, we're going to get in your face and say, hey, who have you told about Jesus? We won't do that, but are you picking up what I'm putting down today? That's what we're called to do. If we truly have been transformed and changed by Jesus, why would we not want others to experience that same transformation? God's going to give you opportunities. The more that you're committed to advancing his kingdom, the more that you're prepared. I look at this story and see that sometimes there are some of these encounters that you're going to have with people that carry greater influence than you might expect. Hey, Philip did not know who was sitting in the carriage that day. He did not know. He didn't say, excuse me, sir, before we talk, could I get your resume? What are your qualifications? Philip did not know that this was the treasurer of Ethiopia. Philip just was obeying the Spirit promptly, stepped into this man's carriage that day to help him understand the word of God. Can you imagine the influence that encounter had? I can't help but think that this Ethiopian treasurer went back to his country and began to share what happened to him on the road between Jerusalem and Gaza. I think he probably said, guys, listen, this is crazy, but listen, I was befuddled, I was confused. I'm reading the book of, something happened to me in worship, and I'm reading the book of Isaiah, I can't understand it, and I'm telling you, God heard my prayer and he sent someone. We don't know the impact we're gonna have. You might witness to someone who in turn is gonna run to their community. It reminds me of another encounter Jesus had with a Samaritan woman one day at a well. Remember that story in John chapter 4, right? And I love this encounter because Jesus did not go to the well that day with an agenda of transformation or conversion. No, scripture says that Jesus went to the well that day because he had a need. What was it? He was thirsty. When you're thirsty, you go to a source to get a drink. Jesus is thirsty. The disciples have gone into town to search for food. He's searching for water. And in the midst of that, he has this encounter with the Samaritan woman. Remember how it goes? Jesus begins to berate her and beat her over the head with the Bible. Is that what it says? He opens the conversation. Excuse me, sister, if you died, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Guys, that is a freaky question in culture. Can I just tell you that? That's probably not the best icebreaker to open up conversation with people. He didn't break out the four spiritual laws track that he'd grown up with in rabbinical school. No. You know what Jesus says? He says, excuse me, ma'am, could you give me a drink? Yes. And in the midst of simply asking and breaking the ice, Jesus begins to share, oh, who he is. Scripture says that he reads her like a book and it blows her away. And I love her response because, again, you just don't know the influence that you're going to have when you step into these God moments. Look what Scripture says in John 4. It says, many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I did. Hey, who was at the well that day? Just Jesus and this woman. But she ran back. And she told her entire village. And what did they do? It says they came out to see him and they begged him to stay in their village. And he stayed for 2 more days, long enough for many more to hear his message. I'm telling you guys, we just don't know the influence that we're gonna have through these God opportunities that we accept. And listen, let me just remind you in this story too. We may not notice immediate fruit in people's lives when we visit with them. Philip, though, not only led the Ethiopian to Christ, but in this man's excitement, he wanted to be baptized as well, right? He wanted to follow through with that. This man was fired up spiritually. He was ready for more. Listen, you rub shoulders every day. Say every day. You rub shoulders every day with people that are hungry. You rub shoulders with people that are hurting. They're looking for some answers in the midst of a world that can be very, very confusing. You know, they're longing for is a spiritual thing. And I'm telling you, they're open to hearing about the Lord. Can I just give you 3 words of encouragement today? Go for it. Go for it. Step into those moments. Hey, don't be afraid about inviting someone. Listen, you invite people to marketing schemes and all of that mess. You invite people, will you come watch my kid play soccer? Hey, would you come over to our house and watch the big game? Hey, who's the last person you invited to come and see that the Lord is good? You got to come and see this one who knows all my junk and my funk, but he loves me the same. I also see that in this story, as I close, that, hey, our goal is always, just as Philip's was that day, to point people to Jesus. Hey, how many times have we wasted opportunities that God places in front of us by talking about the big game or the weather? Or, hey, how's your family? How's your kids? Listen, there's nothing wrong with those things, but I'm telling you, this message that we possess within us is a matter of life and death for people. Can you get past the weather forecast with people? And can you begin to share with them the life-changing story of Jesus Christ? Philip didn't waste time with that. The Ethiopian was hungry to understand Scripture. Philip not only jumps into conversation, he jumps in the carriage with him. And he takes advantage of this opportunity before him. But he stayed on point and he kept it about the good news of Jesus Christ, is what it says in Acts 8. And I know that we may need a way to break the ice with people. I get that. But I want to remind us of what Scripture says in Colossians 3. It says, whatever you do or say, you do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It is always about Jesus. Who are you pointing to? Jesus? Have you told anybody recently about this one that many of you just got crazy for, undignified, Ryan, in this room for? You danced, Lindsay said, dadgummit, I'm dropping my packs and stuff's falling off. Praise God for that. Some of the rest of y'all need to drop some stuff. Just kidding, just kidding. Levi's mad. But are you excited about Jesus? You know, I love what Philip had, and he had what the early church had in Acts. He had passion. He was excited about a risen Savior. The early church exploded because it was eat up with people that really believed that Jesus was the Messiah. They had seen the miracles performed. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit. There are a lot of us in this room that have received the Holy Spirit. He's in us, but we're not letting him out. We're not controlled. We're not dominating. We're not filled completely and oozing over. Listen, this morning, I prayed this morning. I loved this morning. The heavens declaring the glory of our God. Boom, boom, boom. Lightning. Nature was declaring God today. Rain pouring down on land that was breaking apart because it was so dry and thirsty. It's receiving the water that it longed for, but at some point it had gotten too much, and it was raining down so hard that it began to just overflow and flood. Listen, I'm praying that would happen for us. That you would be so eat up with it, consumed with it, filled. Listen, it's not, I don't want a church of people just filled with the Spirit. I want people that are overflowing with the Spirit of God. That's what we ought to be about. Are you excited about Jesus? Is he worth talking about? Oh man, Lord, give us passion. Give us passion for you. Give us passion for you, Jesus. Let's be courageous enough to risk rejection. Hey, will you come to church? No, I'm okay. Okay, cool. I don't know how they determine this, but it's about 25 rejections that a person receives before somebody says yes to Jesus. And by the way, they say that it takes 59 church members to lead one person to Jesus Christ. So listen, you know what that means? We're gonna be rejected a lot, but that's okay. We need to get after it. We need to continue. Have I not commanded you, Jesus says, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, for I am with you, what? Wherever you go. Do you think God's in the midst of that invitation? Absolutely. Do you think he's in the midst of that conversation in English class? Absolutely. Not while the teacher's teaching, do it offline. Or do you believe that God's in the middle of that interaction at the water cooler? He's there. Step into that. This is bonus Bible, and we're going to probably do a series with this later on, but I love in Acts chapter 17, verse 6, the church is being persecuted big time, and the religious leaders of the day are after them, because here's what it says, they've come into our city, and they've turned the world upside down. Hey, listen, it's time for some of us to turn the world upside down. It's time for us to be willing to embrace these opportunities. Did we not just sing? I think we sang a song earlier that says, by your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Jason, listen, I've been rejected time and time again. Awesome. Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. We have students in this room that went to prom last night. Right? Come on. I'm glad y'all are in church. That's awesome. Man, that brings back bad memories for me. No prom date for me ever. Rejection. I know that's hard for you to believe now, but seriously, you're gonna be rejected. Jesus was. He was despised and rejected. Not even welcome in his hometown. By your Spirit, Lord, I'm gonna rise from those ashes of defeat. The resurrected King, come on, is he resurrecting you? In your name, I come alive. What did the word say? To declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrected. By your Spirit, I'm sing that.
From the ashes of defeat.
Come on.
The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name, I come alive.
Yes. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up. This message of the gospel. Wake us up, Jesus. Passion for your name.
And by your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King.
Wake us up, Lord.
Resurrecting me. In your name, I come alive.
name enough that has resurrected us? Do we believe in the name enough to declare victory? Do we believe in the name enough that we will be willing and be ready to go out and to declare that great name? Listen, it's about Jesus. It's not about a church. It's not about, it is about Jesus, the Savior, the resurrected King. Our ministry team is going to be down front today to minister and serve those of you that might have a need or an issue today. We want to come alongside of you. But Father, my prayer is also this, that there would be a group leave this room today, eat up with the Holy Spirit, that we would go in the boldness, the courage that you've given us, you've planted within us, to go in your power, in your great name, and declare the victory. The victory's in Jesus. He's conquered death in the grave, and he lives within us. Lord, I'm praying there's some people in Bernie, Texas, in Bandera, in Kerrville, in Fredericksburg, Stonewall, Pipe Creek, Leon Springs, San Antonio. Come on, Bergheim, Bull Verde, let me hear you. Come on, Comfort, rise up. Kerrville in the house. East Texas in the house. Lord, raise us up to declare your name. Your name is victory. All for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said.